is it as bad as it was? Surely with women-driven projects like Baby Done and the Luminaries, not to mention famous movements like Time's Up and Me Too, all these gender issues have been completely sorted out. Well, rolling her eyes in our Auckland studio is Executive Director of WIFT, Patricia Watson. Hi, Patricia.
Hello, Simon.
Well, before we get into the gender imbalance, how many people are currently working in the sector, do you think?
About 12,000. The figures I've got are from the 2018 census. And at that point, 42% of the industry was made up of women. Or gender diverse. Well, at that point, of course, they didn't measure gender diversity. So, yes, one would say 42% of
but
women.
But it's still pretty even, Stevens, basically. But that's not reflected in the pay, is it?
No, because when you look at the national figures, you have 42% women in the industry and 54% of them earn less than $35,000. And that is their total income. So they may be out there teaching, waitressing, doing whatever else they do to bring in a crust. And that's the only area where women exceed men in the amount of income that they earn.
But once you move up the ladder, then suddenly there's a huge split, really, isn't there?
Yes, there is. There is. So once you get to the 150K figure, you have still over 1,000 people in New Zealand earning over 150K a year in the screen industry. But of those, only roughly 200, so roughly 20%, are women.
When you hear these sort of things, the initial reaction is to say, well, this is appalling because men are being paid grossly unfairly for exactly the same or equal work. But then the reaction sets in and you think, well, hang on, maybe it's the type of jobs that they're doing. There are people who are working for multinationals, in which I have to throw Weta and the people doing Lord of the Rings, and they're working ridiculous hours, huge overtime, day in, day out, doing this rather drudgy sort of work. It's not glamorous, but it is incredibly well paid.
Yes, it is. And they're in the jobs that do pay overtime. People on the tools, primarily men, do get paid overtime. Women who work in the production office do not.
Even though they're working overtime?
Even though they're working overtime. So it's a charming problem that I'm sort of going to tackle in the next 2 years. There is quite a lot to tackle when it comes to inequity of incomes for women in the screen industry. But you do come up against the argument all the time that where's the budget going to come from?
Yeah.
And all the men will roll their eyes right now, but men could take less and women could take more and we could have equality.
How dare you? That's... I mean, there's another big discrepancy too, is the fact that in Hollywood, and I'm sure in Mumbai and London and Paris, producers are pretty well paid. They're the guys with the big cigars. They're the ones who are handling money and they're making sure that quite a lot of it goes into their back pocket. In New Zealand, producers are often some of the worst paid people on the job.
Yes, because they reinvest anything they earn into the production. And they will have spent maybe 3 or 5 years in development when they're not earning anything at all. So they have long, very dry periods, whereas most other people who are on a production are paid for the time that they work. There are exceptions all the time. There are writers who put in extra efforts in development that they're not paid for. But it is the producer who really has to suck it up, as that charming expression goes. In some areas now, I know, for example, the Film Commission is definitely trying to encourage female producers not to sacrifice their fees. But of course, only a small proportion of films actually go through the Film Commission. You don't have quite the same problems in television. Well, you don't have the same problems in television. But that, again, would be something that's a generalisation, because I'm sure at the lower end, lower budgets, you do find female producers working for very little income.
It's interesting that in this country, many of our producers are women and the directors are men. But as you pointed out when we spoke about this afternoon, the directors get paid. The producers may quite often, they've committed so much of their time into getting this project up that they need a little bit more money, they take it out of their own salary.
That is absolutely correct. And the directors are often on documentary. The female directors are often on documentary, where there's very little money. The male directors generally have the bigger budget scripted dramas. So that also is an ongoing issue that one has to work with, and you can't quickly turn that around. And there is an inherent bias in the system, or an unconscious bias. Some people feel that you can trust a male director with the money, and maybe they're not so comfortable with a female director.
It's only started happening in Hollywood, where some of the big women-driven projects like Wonder Woman, where suddenly they're handing it over almost exclusively to women. You know, they're saying, look, somehow you fluked a good one last time, fluke another one for us, you know.
Yes, like Mulan.
Yeah,
you know, it's fantastic.
Right.
That was a wonderful breakthrough that Nicky Caro directed Mulan. It's just a shame it didn't make it to the cinema screen.
Well, that's true, but I think that that's going to be the case with quite a lot of Disney stuff at the moment. That's going to end up going on Disney Plus because there's no cinemas open in the Northern Hemisphere. But there are other historical anomalies, aren't there, of similar jobs or jobs that seem similar being paid differently. I mean, can you give us an example of one of those?
Do you want to start right at the beginning? At the beginning of your career. Beginning of your career. If you're a makeup assist, this is my favourite inequity.
Right.
If you're a makeup assist, you train and you buy your own kit. And as any woman listening to this will know, buying a whole box full of makeup is not cheap. A lighting assist has to pick up a sandbag. A lighting assist generally gets paid $100 a day more than a makeup assist.
I can tell you right now that the lighting assistant didn't pay for that sandbag, did he? He was given it.
He didn't pay for the sandbag.
Oh, my God. Why is that still a thing? I mean, I can imagine it when people wearing walk shorts were going around the place telling people what to do. But I would have thought now that would have just been laughed out of business.
I know. I think there's a lack of awareness that this sort of inequity is there. Mm. You know, the budgets have been going through, being done for donkey's years the same way. And we're going to have to point this out. We're going to have to delve right down into every single job in the industry and highlight the issues. And yes, it's not going to be happy news for some people, but for others, the women, it should be very happy news if we can create some. I have actually set myself the challenge of fixing the gender pay gap in the screen industry in the next 2 years, so watch out, everybody.
I'd suggest that you just take that slightly gloaty note out of your voice there. I know they've got it coming to them, but just try more sorrow and an anger, I think. It also comes down, in a way, to the sort of jobs that are traditionally women and traditionally men. I'm delighted to see that that now is starting to, I wouldn't say be overthrown, but it's certainly chipping away. There are a number of very good women cinematographers around now, where that was an incredible rarity just a few years ago.
Yes, it was. I mean, only, I'd say, 3 or 4 years ago, we only had about 3 women on camera in the WIFT membership, and we've now got 24, which is fantastic improvement. Still a long way to go in the industry, but still, those women are working. So if somebody emails me and says, have you got a female cinematographer you can recommend? I can't find one. Then generally, the ones in the books are working, which is wonderful. So there is a need, because people are aware that they need to have better gender balance in their crew. Mm. But we've just got to get women through. I mean, if you ask for a female sounding now, it's very hard.
I have no idea why women aren't involved in the sound side of them.
I know. It's very odd, isn't it? You go right back to the music industry, of course, and it was always men behind the desk. I don't understand it either. And I would encourage any women out there who want to enter the industry to look at this as a career. You've got a female sound operator here in your studio right now, and she probably loves her job. Oh, she does love her job. She's nodding her head at me. She loves her job.
The other area that seems a bit strangely male is the digital effects thing. I mean, you're basically pushing a computer mouse about the place. No biceps required for this at all. Why are women not involved in that?
I do not know the answer to that, Simon. Do you know the answer?
I have no idea. It's very strange. I mean, how much difference do you think, I mean, wearing your WIFT hat at this stage, Patricia, how much difference have movements like Time's Up and Oscars So Male and all these other sort of trendy movements that were pushing around about 2 or 3 years ago, have they made any dent at all in the industry here?
I would say they've increased awareness. They've definitely increased awareness. Mm. And certainly the funding bodies, everybody who provides funding, from the Writers Guild, who provides seed funding for writers, through to the programs that Script to Screen run, to the Film Commission, to New Zealand On Air, to Mungo Paho, they're all aware of the need to think about gender balance when it comes to disbursement of funds, and they're also all very aware of diversity. But you can only fund the applications you get. So still in some of these areas, men dominate in the applications. And men will go back. Men will go back again, whereas a woman might apply once, get rejected, and then not apply again. Whereas a man will just put the same project in again and again until he gets the funding.
I mean, I look around at what's happened in the last 2 or 3 years, and while this year has been a bit blokey, but sticking out like a good deed in a naughty world, suddenly you get something like Baby Done, which was directed by Curtis Vowell, but was written by his wife, Sophie Henderson.
Yes.
You look at something like The Breaker Operas last year, you look at a number of films that may have been written, stroke, or directed by men, but have women in very strong roles. Surely that's a reason to be semi-cheerful.
Yes, it is a reason to be semi-cheerful. There is, some great talent coming through at the writing desk, and certainly people like Sophie and Jackie and Madeline are all showing the way. And the great thing about those projects is they have taken on board the issues that happen for women with carer responsibilities. Mm. Both those films that you've talked about, and The Inland Road, where Jackie was very clear on this, they have allowed for childcare in their budgets. It's not a big budget hit, but it's out there looming over everybody, this idea that one might have to start putting childcare into the budgets, because why should women carry the whole carer responsibility and have this impact so negatively on their incomes? And this is a factor in the low incomes for women, the fact that responsibility comes back to the woman.
I mean, people are very conscious of this stuff. I see that there are awareness courses being held in places like that. But being able to pronounce appropriate isn't quite the same thing as giving you a job. I have to ask you too, Patricia, I mean, looking at WIFT, is your main priority a concern for employment opportunities, or is it more pushing to see more women-led, women-driven projects on the screen?
It's both. I'm afraid it's anything to do with women. We do have a broader brief there to service the screen industry as a whole, and we do things like co-production summits occasionally at a higher level for producers. But we are there ultimately to ensure that women take their rightful place in the industry. And we also have a focus on diversity and are finding now that we're incorporating more of the gender diverse community into the WIFT membership.
Oh, yeah.
Which is fantastic. We've got a long way to go there too. But, projects like Rurangi really were groundbreaking and wonderful to see. But, again, you look at something like Rurangi, which I thought this was fabulous.
This was a series, and it's essentially a trans story, basically featuring trans performers, and it featured quite a lot in the film festival, didn't it?
Yes, it did. The whole series was screened at the film festival, yet it did not show on mainstream television. Yet we will run something that is a parody, like Mrs. Brown's Boys, with no problem at all. So, we have a way to go.
We're coming up to the WIFT Awards, the biennial WIFT Awards. What are some of the awards that are being given out, Patricia?
There are 10 awards now. They've been increasing generously with sponsors since 2004 when it started. But the award that has been, one of the awards that's been there right from the start, has been the Fulcrum Media Finance Woman to Watch Award. And in 2004, they gave it to three women. And those three women were Nikki Caro, Leanne Saunders, and Ainsley Gardner.
Worth watching, absolutely.
Yeah, well worth watching. And this year we've got the SAE Creative Campus, who have come on board as a sponsor too. So we now have a category for women under 30. And between those two categories, the SAE Award and the Fulcrum Media Finance Award, we've got 90 entries. 90 entries for fabulous younger women coming through the industry. So that does augur well.